the government has a big footprint environmentally, and we've got a real responsibility to lead by example, definitely, in demonstrating what it means to build a clean energy economy and to showcasing how much good we can do for the planet as well.
Yeah, because it's very hard for the government to step up and say, okay, reduce your footprint and then leave a footprint of their own. So what are some of the more innovative ways that you have come across that the government's trying to reduce its carbon footprint and really be the leader in this initiative?
Well, last October, President Obama signed a new executive order on federal sustainability, and it really challenged all the agencies and departments to step up. And I'm really happy to say today that they are doing exactly that. This past January, we announced a federal-wide greenhouse gas reduction target of 28% by 2020, and we're already seeing agencies moving out on meeting that goal. From GSA and DOE working together to double the federal hybrid fleet and bring 100 new plug-in hybrid electric vehicles into the federal agencies, to implementing solar panels and wind turbines on federal properties across the country, like what the VA is doing.
Oh, wow. And I know, like, GSA has, I believe it's one of the largest solar facilities, I believe, anywhere in the country, just outside of Denver.
They sure do. GSA is leading by example in implementing renewable energy on their properties, and so is DOD. In Fort Irwin, actually, they're in the process of building what will be one of the nation's largest solar installations, be 500 megawatts, which is absolutely enormous.
Wow.
Can you share with us a bit about the initial outlay of expense, how that is translated into an investment, and when the return on investment starts to show up? Because there are people out there who are really worried about the bottom line, especially these days.
Absolutely. Well, our expectation is that what's good for the environment is going to be good for the economy as well. And making investments in things like energy efficiency in our 500,000 federal buildings is going to end up saving taxpayer dollars down the line in our federal utility bill. Most of you may not know this, but the federal government is actually the single largest energy consumer in the U.S. economy. And so every megawatt we save are ultimately dollars that we're not going to be spending on the utility bills, too.
And so Executive Order 13514, which I out at IRMCO, I teased on the number a little bit, but what is it? And I think one of the challenge with some of the green efforts is people can feel lost. Like, if you buy a hybrid fleet, okay, I don't play a role in that. Is there something that I, as Joe or Joanna Fed, can do that actually makes a difference?
Well, something important for all of us to remember, especially this week at the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, that everything that we do as individuals at home, for the federal and military communities at work, adds up to an enormous change. And we really saw this in the Green Gov Challenge. EO 13514 may not be easy to remember, but Green Gov is.
Yep.
And the Green Gov Challenge brought together ideas from people around the federal community about what we could do together and what we should do as individuals to make a difference. And printing on both sides of your paper, at the copier or at the printer, making sure we're using the agency's recycling facilities, turning off your computer and your monitors and your speakers at night when you leave the office.
And your printers.
And your printers, yeah. Absolutely. All of those changes add up to a big difference in our energy consumption and in our waste footprint.
Now, this is the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. Do you feel like the message is getting out there, that the pendulum is swinging and we're seeing more attention paid to this? Where are we in the process, really?
Well, I was a little kid in the 1970s, and remember in the Earth Days that were part of my childhood, the message back then was really about not littering, turning off the lights, and not polluting. And if you think about how much broader the dialogue is today, that we understand what greenhouse gas pollution does and that it's something that we need to reduce, how energy connects into creating clean energy jobs that ultimately support our economy, and how many more great new technologies that we have that are not only reducing our environmental footprint, but that are creating economic opportunities in our community, we have come a long way in 40 years. There's a long way yet to go, but thinking about it from the federal government's perspective, with the extraordinary men and women who are part of our community, as federal employees, as men and women in military service, we have everything that we need to do to go the distance.
Talk a little bit about the GreenGov Challenge, what it is, how it worked, and so many folks thinking about doing these kinds of challenges. I know you had some lessons learned as you went through that process.
Well, we launched the GreenGov Challenge on whitehouse.gov last October, right alongside the president's executive order. And it was an online participatory forum that invited everyone from around the federal and military communities to come online and share their ideas about what they thought we needed to do first to meet the goals that the president put in front of us, and to vote on the best ideas that they saw from other people. There were many wonderful submissions. The number one submission actually was teleworking, and others that really connected to people's experience every day in their workplace, from greening the cafeteria to turning off the lights in the building at night and, you know, making sure that we're using double-sided copy and printing, for instance. And those ideas are actually available for anybody to review today. You can download them at whitehouse.gov/greengov. We're using them in agency plans for how we're going to meet the goals in the executive order and do even more in terms of sustainability next year. And some of those ideas are already being implemented today, too.
And I know you also have a conference coming up where you're going to focus on these issues. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. In October of this year, we're looking forward to presenting the GreenGov Symposium, and it'll bring together leaders from across the federal community to share ideas and engage in a dialogue about how we can reach further, learn from one another, and learn from best practices that we see coming out of the private sector and the nonprofit community as well. There are a lot of state and local governments out there, too, who've forged the path along these lines, and we have important things to learn from them as well.
Where do you see this going? I mean, you talked about when you and I were kids and we remember the give a hoot, don't pollute, and the don't litter, and how the thought has expanded a whole lot since then. Do you see this as a fad, a trend? Are we going to sort of bake this into our society? Where is this going from here?
Well, certainly in the context of the federal community, I see sustainability and thinking about the impact on our environment and our neighborhoods really becoming fundamentally a part of how we operate as the federal government. And you can see that a little bit in microcosm with what's happening with green buildings in the federal community. You know, GSA and different components of DOD were early leaders in that. And even 5 years ago, it was relatively rare to hear about a new building being green or making sure that we were retrofitting old buildings to be more efficient. Retrofitting old buildings to be more energy efficient. But what you see today in the federal community is broadly, and then within individual agencies, there's 100% commitment to all new buildings being green, being better stewards from an energy efficiency perspective, and creating better environments for the people who work there and for the public that we serve that come into our federal spaces as well. So if you can look at that transformation and just the extraordinary engagement and breadth of engagement we've seen in the GreenGov Challenge, in the many working groups around the federal community who are pushing these issues forward every day, we can look forward to some real transformative change.
Why do these kinds of challenges? Does this help you actually accomplish your mission better?
Well, we can have all the ideas in the world we want and set big goals about achieving great environmental performance, but if we don't engage the men and women who are actually not just here in Washington, but out there in communities around the country and around the world who are part of the federal community in getting the work done and in listening to what's working, listening to what great ideas may be bubbling up from the field, we're missing opportunities, and we may not get there at all, and we certainly won't get there as fast as we will if we listen, develop community around these ideas, and move forward together. Now, that there's always a lot of conversation about resources, and when people talk about resources to do great environmental work. They often mean money.
Yeah.
But certainly when you look around the federal community and think about what we have in greatest abundance, the single most important resource that we have are our people, the men and women in federal and military service. And I know that with their engagement, we're going to be able to meet the goals that President Obama has set for us, and we're going to be able to set the right example for the communities in which we live and work.